want to welcome everybody to this month's episode of The Green Side. For those that missed our first show last month, let me reintroduce us. The Green Side is a show that is a collaboration between the Hackers Paradise and PutterZone.com. What it is a show based on the short game. Anything inside 100 yards we will cover, with most of our focus being about putters. This week's show is just full of content about new gear, tech, buzzwords, jargon, everything else. We're going to get into a contest announcement we have where we announce the winner of last episode's contest. But first, I want to introduce Sean from PutterZone, who is my co-host in these adventures.
Hey, Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Everything good on your end?
Absolutely. We got springtime here. We got the golf season heating up, and it's very exciting.
Listeners, don't let him fool you. He lives in California, and it's always springtime out there.
We actually had a real winter this year.
Oh, that's news. That's news. We did in Florida as well. Before we get started on the show, which I know both of us are excited about, last month's episode, we announced a contest for everybody to email in the craziest designed putters they could come up with, when they seen on the course, whether they had just heard about it, and so on. And we got hundreds of entries, and we picked a winner. And that is Clay Cribbs, because he sent us a couple of pictures of something called the Penta Putter that he saw at a local course. And I forwarded you the email and the pictures. What were your thoughts?
Well, my first thought is it kind of looks like a doghouse.
It kind of does. I expected a windmill in front of it, kind of, like a miniature golf course. It's definitely unique. And Clay Cribbs, we have a Greenside prize pack headed out to you this week. And look for that.
Is the prize a Penta putter for Clay?
Unfortunately for him, it is not, but we will make sure it's things he can use in and around the green. Next contest we have will be next episode, and keep the entries coming. If you didn't win, stay tuned. This is THP and Putter Zone, and there's always a contest going on.
And wasn't it cool, Josh, the feedback we got on that first show? It was really inspiring for me to hear.
It really was. I agree with you. From both the industry and the listeners, people really seem to enjoy kind of taking all the marketing buzz out of everything, and I know that's what PutterZone and THP are about, but for us to be able to kind of talk about, educate, have fun with the world around the green is something that that I think we're on the right track with.
Yeah, definitely, and taking it to the airwaves is a lot of fun, so it's good to be back, definitely.
I feel the same way, and like we said earlier, we have an entire chock full of show, as I'll like to call it, so we will get right to it.
And that sound signifies the hot new gear segment of the Green Side. And Josh, today we're going to start off with the new Cleveland T-Frame Mallet, engineered by Never Compromise.
We were talking off air. It is kind of a Reese's peanut butter cup kind of thing here with the chocolate meets the peanut butter. I know that you and I have both had a chance to roll this putter a little bit and play around with it. What are your thoughts?
For $119, it's banging, as usual, from Cleveland. And, elaborating on that chocolate and my peanut butter, for those who may not be aware of the two brands, Never Compromise and Cleveland Golf, they both share the same roof. So this is the first time they've put both brand names on a single putter. And so that's the Reese's part of this.
You're exactly right. And, being that they're both owned by a parent company far away, I was a little surprised to see that they co-branded it. But it definitely has the look of something Never Compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And then the price tag of something Cleveland Golf, which yeah, I think should get people excited.
And it's been an open secret that, they share the same putter design talent, so in a way, it's not so odd to put both their names on this putter.
What were the key features when you looked at it that really stood out at you? I know, for me, when looking at it, first off, the shape stands out. And those who haven't seen it, you can check out either one of the websites, PutterZone.com or TheHackersParadise.com. We have pictures up. But the head cover comes with a little coin inside, and the putter's really unique in lie angle and stuff like that. We talked about lie angle in the first episode, so people, if you don't understand it, please do listen to the education and the jargon buster segment in the first episode, as Sean goes through exactly what lie angle is and how it works.
Yeah, and that's one thing they offer on this putter is optional lie angles of 68 degrees, 70, and 72, you know. And at that price point, how cool is that to have, you know, custom fitting options?
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, $119 with the price of putters today being, you know, sometimes going into the stratosphere, it's not always you get what you pay for. Sometimes it's marketing. Sometimes it's a lot of things. And I'm not going to knock any of the high-end putters because a lot of them are great, and we're going to talk about quite a few of them here. But for $119, this is a unique one. And I took it out to the putting green, and one thing I've noticed is when you hit it dead square, it has a wonderful feel and sound, and you know where the tee bar kind of hits the face. When you hit it off a little bit, it's a little hollow, and it produces a different sound. And I'm wondering what people's thoughts are as they get to try this one out are.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't blown away by the feel of this putter. And, you know, in a way, it's Cleveland's fault that I'm talking about feel on a putter that's $119 because they've delivered pretty phenomenal feel on their Classics line, which are even, you know, less expensive. So they've raised the bar pretty high themselves. But I do love the alignment feature of this putter. You know, so many of these mallets these days look like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and this just is so clean.
Yeah, and I love the holes in the back of the T-bar. It adds like a little a modern and edge kind of feel where, you know, obviously it's there for a reason and to eliminate weight or to move weight around. One of the things I noticed with this putter is due to the way the tee is set up, when I'm using it on the putting green and I'm inside of, you know, that 5 to 8 foot putt mark, that one that just kills amateurs left and right. The alignment of this made it really very never compromise-like, and my readers will know what I'm talking about. I find their X-ray alignment aid to be one of the best out there for putts inside of 10 feet, and this was really no different. I really enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it so easy to square to the target line, and when you're close to the hole, it's almost like you can see the line extending right through the putter to the hole. So, yeah, it's going to inspire a lot of confidence.
This matched up with a Srixon yellow tour ball. The ball's going to drop. It's in my head, but it seems to work. The next putter we're going to talk about in our Hot New Gear segment is the Slotline 600 series. And I know you and I have spent both a lot of time with this. What are your thoughts on it overall before we get right into it?
Well, I just love it because it's, you know, it's different. It's unique. It's got a point of view. And for that, they're really to be commended. You know, this isn't just another putter. This thing really stands out from the crowd and the way it looks and the way it handles. You know, it's just different, and it's rock solid.
You hit the nail on the head there when you were talking about it stands out from the crowd, and I hope that their putters end up in a lot more stores, because I think if people see this, you know, you walk into a Golfsmith and Edwin Watts, a PGA Superstore, you know, Golf Galaxy, whatever it is, and they have the little putting green surrounded by putters, this putter would stand out. It's absolutely gorgeous looking with the gold finish. I don't want to call it a gold finish. I call it a gold finish, but I know that's
it's
not
kind of like a smoky champagne.
Yeah.
It changes depending on the light you're in.
That's exactly right. And the insert has a great feel. And I'm a fan of the slot line technology, you know, matching up the slot with the line. I know that in our testing, some of the seniors struggled with actually seeing it in the direct sunlight of Florida, but I'm a fan of it. It works well. The putter has a great feel. And again, the looks just seal the deal for me.
Yeah, and for those who like a little heavier head, this has a 360-gram head on it. And that's something else that is a little outside the norm. I know we're trending heavier, but 360 grams on a 35-inch putter is still probably on the heavier side, and so those who like that may want to gravitate toward this.
Don't give up the rest of our show now. We're going to be talking about heavier putters coming up soon.
But, it's on my mind.
What are your thoughts on Slotline being able to get mainstream?
Well, I think it's out there for them. You know, it's tough right now, I think, for everyone in the golf equipment industry to make a break and, you know, pull ahead of anyone else. But I think they've definitely laid the foundation. I mean, that brand was very, very strong back in the 80s, one of the top putter companies. It kind of fell on hard times and was recently reborn. And they've done a great job. This is sort of their second generation putter of the new slot line. And if they continue trending like this, I think they're going to do really well.
Speaking of putter companies trending upward, I'm actually smiling as I speak this because the last putter we're going to talk about in our hot new gear section is the Seymour M7. And for those that read the Hacker's Paradise reviews, we just recently reviewed this, and they know that I'm a fan of Seymour for many reasons, one of which is the quality of their work. But it's a rare case for me to actually change putters, and I know that Sean's the same way. We don't we review a lot of them, we try a lot of them, but we still kind of go back to what we're used to. And this was the first time that I reviewed a putter in quite a while that it made its way right into my bag almost immediately.
Yeah, you know, Seymour, boy, they're just doing everything right, aren't they?
We talked about this on the forum with a couple of readers, and one of the things that it's hard to put into words, it's a company that just seems to get it. And I'm doing finger quotes on the radio. I don't really know what it is, but you know, when you combine quality of high-end products at the same time making putters that are also affordable to people, having distribution to where it's not available to everybody, but more and more people are getting to try it. They have a tour presence and have won majors, multiple. And the number one thing I want to say is, out of every company we deal with, for the small companies, they have some of the best customer service. Now, it's not a knock on other companies, but this company goes so far and above and beyond what they need to.
It's so hands-on, isn't it?
It really is. I mean,
but you know, the thing is, they back when I started PutterZone.com early 2007. Yeah, 2007. They were just getting underway. It was another case of a brand being reborn and revitalized under new ownership. And Jim at Seymour had contacted me. And I mean, they were already doing everything right. And then Zach Johnson, you know, won the Masters with a Seymour putter in his hand.
Yeah, that was lightning in a bottle
really took
right
off.
There.
But that was really a case. They made their own luck. I mean, they were ready for that. They were already just doing everything so well with their first, you know, M-series putters. And it was so cool to see a company, because that just put them right back on the map. But it was a case of a company being so prepared for a moment like that.
You know, before we get into the M7, one of the things that I find odd about Seymour, and I may be wrong in this stat, but it seems like there's quite a few tour players using it now, and we've even seen a few more recently, some pretty big names messing around with them at the different events. They all seem to gravitate towards the original one. And, you know, the original design, the FGP. And with so many lines and so many models they have out now, that always surprised me a little bit.
Maybe they're expecting a little fairy dust to rub off, you know, from the Payne Stewart's FGP and Zach Johnson's and some of those major victories.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And this new M7 is in my bag currently. Like I said, I reviewed it. It was up on the site last week. And one of the things that stands out for me is I was always a fan of the M1, but the back end of it rode a little high for me. I know that sounds really weird and that I'm being a little too picky, but the M7 has shaved off that back end slightly and made it more, you know, more traditionally styled, I want to call it. And plus that insert is just as good as anything I've ever put with feeling-wise.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to check it out yet, but based on the other M-series putters that I have, you know, I expect great things from it and look forward to checking it out real soon.
Yeah, you'll enjoy
how would
this
you describe one. How would you describe the feel of the insert relative to just the straight earlier M1?
It's not better or worse. It's just different to me. It's a little more supple and a little more soft in at direct impact, and the tone is slightly more neutral, if that makes sense to people. But, you know, the thing that really gets me is I still get the same RST that I believe will help people putt better. I know some people aren't sure, they haven't tried it yet, or they think it's gimmicky. I believe it helps people putt better.
Maybe for the listener, RST, can you
elaborate on that? Rifle scope technology, it's basically when you think of Seymour, and most of our listeners have heard of them before, it's the red dot that's back there surrounded by the white lines. And, you know, the shaft has a black portion of the bottom. And when you're set up to putt, it's going to cover that red dot. If you're seeing it, there's a problem. And I know you've messed around with it. Your thoughts on RST in general are positive, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And they've done some good things with their whistle shaft. It's an offset shaft where you can take that RST from the traditional center shaft or no offset shaft and do it in an offset putter. And I think they've really mastered making that technology available to people who enjoy any style of putter.
Yeah, and the M7, while not a unique style, I wouldn't say, is one of the nicest looking I've seen. And like I said, when you have the confidence set up, knowing that the RST is going to work for you, and a putter feels this good, there's few things that can hold you back in making more putts. And, you know, putting is about confidence, but it's also about technique. And this putter will help provide proper technique.
Yeah, if you're one of those people who has the ball way forward in your stance, you may have issues with it, but then you also may want to revisit your technique.
That sound can only mean one thing, and that is it's time for us to talk some tech. That is our Tech Talk segment, and each episode, or show I should say, will bring you a new topic on the technology in putters. And this week we have a really interesting topic, and that is the trend, as my co-host Sean gave away earlier, that is the trend towards a heavier putter. You know, for years we saw certain swing weights, and now we're seeing all the way up to the heaviest of heavy putters, something extremely heavy. And what are your thoughts on the trend, and what are your thoughts on heavy putters in general?
Well, you know, it's an interesting trend, and I wonder if there's a backlash on the horizon. You know, with putters, I think it always comes down to personal preference, and in a way, it's great to have that option of a heavier putter. I think in earlier years, you'd be hard pressed to find putters at the weights that you can easily find them today. But at the same time, you know, I hope we don't lose some of the lighter putters, some of the lighter swing weights that I think for certain golfers may be more effective.
I actually agree with you. And one of the things I've thought a lot about swing weight in general, and there's certain weights I like, and there's certain weights that I don't like as much. And one of the things that is intriguing to me is it will help promote a better stroke. And some people talk about on different speeds of greens how they struggle with a heavier putter, meaning a faster green. Some of them struggle with it and so on and so forth. And we've seen a lot of adjustability come out in putters now where you can change the weights here on, and, you know, depending on the course you're playing or the conditions. And my question to you is, with the economy the way it's been and a lot of golf courses even closing, but struggling to keep things the way they were, do you think the heavy putter is not, and I don't mean brand, I mean the heavier putter, is getting more play based on the fact that conditions of greens are slower across the board? Or am I crazy in thinking that?
Yeah, boy, to find a correlation there would be pretty difficult. That hadn't even occurred to me. But
so I'm the crazy one.
Well, you said it. The adjustability of weight on a putter, I think, is a great thing that's come along in recent years, and that, you know, that gives you the option of matching your putter to green speed, and also just gives you the option to change your mind.
Do you believe that with changing your mind, as you put it, and adding weight or taking weight away, I look at that as a great feature, but I also look at it as something that people can kind of fiddle with a little too much and really screw up their putting stroke?
Yeah, I think it's a fine line. You know, if you're a tinkerer by nature...
I'm raising my hand. That's me.
You know, it can become kind of addictive. So, you know, and how realistic is it to get out a stimp meter and, you know, figure out the green speed and, you know, be real scientific about the weight of your putter? I think it's more important to establish a relationship with your putter, find the right weight for you, and just learn to manage it around the greens unless you're experiencing wildly diverse conditions.
You know, I look at, and I'll use the brand Heavy Putter here as an example. We reviewed the original line, and the course that I played at and was a member at the time was extremely fast greens, and I struggled with it quite a bit. And I notice, you know, the growing trend in the industry, like we're talking about now, is going heavier, yet Heavy Putter as a brand, Bocchieri Golf, has gone the exact opposite, launching the midweight and the lightweight series.
Well, I think there's some middle ground out there. You know, those were really heavy, those first heavy putters, and they do have a counterweight in the shaft, and I think they're great for certain golfers. And you know, I think, you know, with the midweight and the lightweight, they're just like so many other companies, adding options to their line, and options is always a good thing.
I know,
and there's so much personal preference involved in this.
Agreed.
But, you know, one thing about heavier putters in general is I've had a few people tell me they've gone lighter and seen improvement, and I think that can be attributable. In fact, someone on Facebook even confirmed it for me, that they're able to take a little lighter grip in the hands, in the fingers, and find that their stroke benefits from that. Sometimes if the putter feels too heavy, you might be clamping down, you might be having tension in your hands and wrists to control the heavier head, or at least the sensation of control. And that tension can cause problems for certain people.
Before we move on, what do you think is the average head weight of a putter right now?
Wow.
Or the most common putters?
I think we're trending 340 to 350, don't you?
I would say right around 350. And what do you think it was a decade ago?
Why 320, 330? What do you think?
I think about 330. So we're definitely getting towards that. And so people who say there hasn't been a whole lot done in putters and in technology, take a look at the swing weight alone, because it's something that I think if people paid a little more attention to, and hint, hint, companies, please put this information on your website, I think that people would be able to kind of fine-tune exactly what it is they're looking for.
Yeah, if you're flying blind and you buy a putter, you know, you may not even be aware of what the weight of it is. And, you know, and more with just the awareness about fitting and personal preference and all of the options out there, it's just more and more important to be informed about these factors in your putter. And, you know, like we talked about the slot line being at 360, some of the gels and Delacruz putters are even heavier. You've got the heavy putter with its counterweighting technology. You've got the adjustable weighting putters. There's just so much out there, but in a way, it's like there's so many options that you just can't fly blind.
Well, with that, we're going to move on to our next segment, because it plays a role in that. That sound means Jargon Buster, and before we get into this week's Jargon Buster, I want to tell you thank you all for the emails and feedback we got on this segment last week, or last month, I should say. We talked about lie angle, and, you know, thankfully Sean's expertise was able to explain that to everybody in a clear way on how it can help people. Kind of taking a cue off of our last segment of trending towards heavier putters, this episode's Jargon Buster is all about swing weight. So I'm going to have Sean come in because he's better at explaining things than I am, and kind of give you a definition of swing weight and why it's important.
Yeah, Josh, and swing weight's a term that we were throwing around in the earlier segment on the trends in putter head weights. And swing weight is different than the actual weight of the putter and the putter head. You know, we were talking about 330 grams, 340 grams, 350 grams. That is the actual weight of the head. It's fixed. You know, that doesn't change. The head is the head. Swing weight is how heavy the putter and the putter head feels in your hands, and that's relative to the balance point of the club, and it's also very specific to the length of the putter. So swing weight is more the sensation of the weight as opposed to the actual weight of the putter.
How can somebody find what's the right swing weight for them, or how can they figure out swing weight on their own?
Well, again, you know, I think it just really comes down to personal preference. And, you know, I don't mean that to sound like a cop-out, but, you know, with the trend toward heavier putters that we were talking about earlier, naturally you have a trend in swing weight as well, because there is a relationship between the actual weight of the putter and swing weight. But one way to visualize swing weight is if you took, like, a bamboo stick that was 4 feet long and you stabbed an apple with it. Big Granny Smith.
What are you doing in your spare time?
Well, you know, that's just one of my many talents is spearing apples. But if you take that at 4 feet and you have this big apple on the end of it and you start swinging it around, it's going to feel a little out of control. It's going to feel pretty heavy in your hands. Now, if you chop that stick down to 2 feet, you have the same apple. The apple still weighs the same, but you're going to have a lot more control over that apple at the end of the stick. And that's just a vivid illustration of swing weight. If you have a shorter shaft on a heavier putter, it's going to feel lighter than if you had a longer shaft.
What do you think, what numbers or what things should people think about when they're thinking about swing weight and kind of fine-tuning their skills?
Well, it's one thing. It's not something I would obsess over because, again, you know, it comes down to the actual weight of the putter and how it feels in the hands. But where swing weight really comes into play is if you have a putter at a certain head weight, and then you decide, you know, I'm going to go to a shorter shaft. You know, I've modified my stroke, and I want to go to a 34, 33-inch putter instead of a 35. You really need to be aware that that's going to change the swing weight and how that putter feels in your hands. And that's where I think it's important just to be aware of the phenomenon of swing weight. And similarly, if you like a putter that you felt at 33 or 34 inches, but then you want to go on buy it in the secondary market like eBay, but you see one for 35, you know, you just need to be aware it's going to feel different in your hands if it's the same head weight.
Not to mention it may possibly be counterfeit.
That too.
It's an intriguing jargon buster segment. I think people over time, I think a lot of amateur golfers don't even think about it. They don't think about the fact that they may be putting with a 34-inch and, oh, what's the big deal? An extra inch is no big deal. But I want to tell you, the same people who say that may be saying when they're picking up a driver, I got to have it cut down because I'm losing control.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's the same thing with a putter, and find something you're comfortable with and stick with it size-wise in comparison to that head weight.
Yeah, and it's hard to scale different head weights at retail for putter companies. So in most cases, a certain model of putter, regardless of its length or the length at which it's sold, the head weight is going to be the same, meaning that the swing weights can be a little different from length to length. Some manufacturers do, however, offer different head weights for different lengths, like the new Bettinardi BB putters. If you buy the 35-inch putter, you're going to get a 332-gram head, and if you buy the 34-inch putter, you're going to get a 348-gram head. And you know that's Bettinardi's way of acknowledging the change in swing weight as you go from length to length.
That is great info. And again, if you have questions about putting, and there are certain things you don't understand, email us. You can email me at josh@thehackersparadise.com. You can email him at Sean, S-E-A-N, at putterzone.com, and ask us. And let us know that you may have a question that you want answered, and we will discuss it on the air for you. That sound means we're talking about the buzz. And this week, the buzz on... this month, the buzz on the green side is splits. Why don't you tell everybody what we mean by that?
By splits, we're talking splits of high-name putter designers from their former partners, Robert Bettinardi with Mizuno and Bobby Grace with McGregor. And those are two fairly recent developments where those putter designers decided to go solo again.
You know, this was something that one surprised me, one did not. And both of these guys are extremely well-respected, have been doing this for quite a while and making what I consider in some ways works of art. And the Grace splitting from McGregor, I kind of expected that. McGregor was on its way – has been long on its way down, and I know that they've been acquired by Golfsmith and they're relaunching, and I'm actually fairly excited about the new launch. So I wasn't really surprised by the Grace split. The Bettinardi split surprised me, more so for timing than anything else. We'll start with Bobby Grace, and what were your thoughts when you heard the news?
Well, like you, I knew that there'd been some changes in McGregor, and it just didn't feel like the good ship Lollipop at that time. And you know, not having any information on what was going on the inside, we all know what happened to the brand and the company, and you know now it's being retooled. But when those types of things are going on, it's not surprising to see people peel away. You know, he might have seen things that we ultimately found out later. You know, I have a friend, he says, has a saying, get out before the whole crap house goes up in flames.
That's a good thing to live by, I guess. What are your thoughts on Grace out on his own? You know, it's been a long time since he was out on his own in the past, and he's had some great runs with major companies, and he has a cult-like following. His insert is unlike any other on the market that I've ever used. He calls it the HSM insert, And, you know, I'm curious what your take is on it's now a crowded market of putters, and unlike what it was when he was there before.
Well, I think that one thing is with McGregor, boy, he got a lot of name recognition for those who weren't already aware of him. You know, major print ads in all the major magazines. So that, in terms of just his brand name, that couldn't have hurt. And I think he has such a loyal following, and I think he'll do fine, particularly if he's not trying to be a global phenomenon, but just going back to his roots. Certainly, he's gonna have his audience and have no trouble making it.
Speaking of, you know, cult-like followings, the Bettinardi-Mizuno split, like we've both mentioned, I was a little surprised by that one. Mizuno seems to be trending upward and producing more equipment now than ever before. He seemed like a good fit for them. And the putters, we've both reviewed them while he was at Mizuno, are top-notch. And that's not to take away what they are now, because I think this new line might even be better. What are your thoughts on him, again, entering a crowded market different than what it was before?
Well, I think it's like Bobby Grace. I think that they're strong. They have credibility. They have roots. And I think they're going to do just fine. I mean, the quality of the product is there. And, you know, there's always going to be a market for the golfer who wants something a little better, a little different. And that may trend toward that work of art that you were talking about. You know, with Mizuno, it is interesting. They're extremely selective when it comes to putters. So, you know, I was very excited about the partnership, and I'm kind of curious as to what they're going to do next. They had a partnership with TP Mills many years ago. So they've connected with two of the big names.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this myself, not to cut you off, and I'm not sure they're going to stay in that market. Everybody expects to have an announcement soon or something like that, and call me crazy. I think they're going to bow out of that market for a while.
I think they are too, and in a way, to their credit, you know, I don't know what went down. If anything, it sounded like an amicable parting. But they're, you know, they're very selective, and I think that they would rather take time off than rather rush back into the putter market. And to their credit, every time they bring out a putter, it's hot, you know, it's damn good, and they have a track record there.
I agree, and you know, like you said, they've obviously have the pedigree in which they've used with TP Mills and Bettinardi. One thing that always stuck with me with the Bettinardi and the Mizuno, and it was brought to my attention from a reader, and I never really thought about it because when I think of both brands, I think of really high end craftsmanship. However, Bettinardi with his new solo line is very much made in America. And Mizuno doesn't really stand for that, obviously. And I'm wondering if that correlation kept some away from that putter.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't really thought about that. That is definitely...
I caught you on the spot. Like I said, it never dawned on me until... A reader used an analogy to cars, and some people are very set in their way about buying American, and some are very set in their way about buying Japanese. And these are two brands that kind of merged the gap, similar to what we saw with the – we were talking about the whole peanut butter and your chocolate thing. You know, it's not the same thing, obviously, but I wonder if that caused some people to look at it a little confused.
Yeah, I think some people may have, you know, come to that conclusion. I'm not sure in the grand scale at the retail level that would cause, you know, an appreciable impact on the sales of that putter, but it's definitely interesting. And you know, he's back in a big way with these new BB series putters, and I know we'll be talking about those very soon.
We will be. Stay tuned for that. We've both reviewed them. In fact, they're here for the THP Florida outing as well, that we're going to let some consumers put their hands on them firsthand and let us know what they think as well. They are really, really nice putters. And don't forget his belt buckles, which are also nice, but that's for a different time.
Yeah, even as a cigar ashtray, I think.
He does.
Very cool.
Well, that is it for our show this month. For Sean at Putter Zone, I am Josh at THP. You know, this is a labor of love for both of us. We are slightly addicted to the short game world. And again, while this show is all about putters, the green side is about everything that involves around the short game. And we will come with you next episode, and we'll give you some more stuff like that. So for Sean at Putter Zone, you can always reach him at sean@putterzone.com. I am Josh at the Hackers Paradise. That's josh@thehackersparadise.com. Give us your feedback. Tell us that you want to hear the next one. Tell us that you don't and tell us why. Tell us we stink. Tell us we're good. Whatever your feedback you want, give it to us. We want to hear it. And you won't want to miss our next show, as we have another contest coming up that will also be featured on both sites. And just remember this line that I'm stealing from my co-host here. Do not fear the green. Conquer it.